Hello, hello, and welcome to the Village of Hope podcast. I'm Jessica Goodman. I have the privilege and honor of directing Village of Hope Ministries here in Central Florida. It's been a long time hub and just safe place for not only little kids to come after school or to come and get food if they need it, but also just families who are in difficult situations, as well as students from colleges and all over the country to come and train in the area of urban missions. We do street ministry, we help single mamas, we do discipleship, feeding, clothing, just whatever we can do here in our local high needs communities to show the love of Jesus in practical ways. And you wouldn't believe some of the things we've seen that have happened in the spirit because we were obedient in the little things. Small things fueled by big prayer make for miracles. So never underestimate the small things you're doing to help the people in front of you each day. If you are praying and your heart is in the right place and your motive is love, God's going to honor that. And we all know this saying, but Mother Teresa said it best, we do no great things, but only small things with great love. I think I'll ever forget my first time piling out of a white church van into a small little housing projects neighborhood in a tiny town where there were so many hungry children, and not just hungry for food, but hungry for love and attention. I remember passing out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches until we were all out, and we ran out of food before we ran out of children. It was a sad moment, but it was a wake-up call. There was so much need right in our backyards. I remember as our van finally left and we had to move on for the day, I turned around and saw two or three children, I think they were barefooted, but just running as fast as they could to try to catch up with our van so that we wouldn't leave them. It broke my heart. I thought, how long has it been since these kids have had a hug? How desperate must they be for just some kind of human touch and affection, some kind of recognition? The deeper need in the whole neighborhood wasn't just for physical touch or a sandwich or a bottle of water, but just human dignity, the recognition that the neighborhood even existed. Well, it's been over 20 years since that encounter, and I can tell you, I'm still finding Jesus behind the faces of the homeless, the poor, the widow, the broken, the hungry, and I'm still being chased down by little kids, and I love it. I've never been so close to God as when I'm with Him in places that most Christians won't come anywhere close to. I've never felt so at home than when I'm with someone who doesn't have a home. Jesus does anoint us and prepare a table for us, but He does it in the presence of our enemies, and He also pulls up a chair for the prostitute, for the tax collector, for the sinner. And if you're not willing to sit with sinners, you may miss out on sitting with Jesus in the most intimate ways. I'm telling you, He is out there. I'm telling you, He's in the streets. He's in the margins. He's in the ditch. He's where you least expect Him. But that is where you may just find yourself feeling the closest to Him. I became addicted to the addicted, as I say, years ago. Once I got out on those streets, once I started working in a mission center in the middle of the projects, once I really dug my feet in and became a neighbor and not just someone who had pity on people, but then I went back to my little comfort zone. See, there's a difference between just tossing out bread to the hungry and actually sitting and breaking the bread and eating with them and getting to know them. Jesus said to love your neighbor. He wants us to be neighbors and friends with people who desperately need friendship and desperately need Him. They need, as Jeannie Mayo would say, Jesus with skin on. They don't just want an outreach program. They don't want you to just write a check to some organization. And I've run an organization for years, and I can tell you my most famous quote is, checks can't throw a football, meaning, yes, we need your financial support Absolutely. But I can go buy all the supplies in the world to try to entertain and bless the kids that are in our outreach neighborhoods. But who's going to do the stuff with them? I can buy things for them to have activities. I can buy footballs for them to play with. But you know what we really need? We need dads and volunteers out in the yard throwing it with them. What good is money if there's no hands and feet? We gotta have both. We have to give and we have to go. And you know what? They're not one or the other. It's not one or the other. It's both and. Because giving can help change other people, absolutely. But going will change you. You know, there's not really any direct contact with the needy when you're just writing a check and passing it off. You know, checks and donations, they can become an excuse for our lack of personal hands-on involvement with the poor. And I'm challenging you, if you're listening to this, I know this is our first podcast episode, but this is one of the most passionate things on my heart, is that it's not one or the other. It's not some people are called to go and some people are called to give. We're all called to do both, and we've all got to work together, or this harvest is not going to come in. We're not going to see the job fully done unless all hands are on deck, both financially and practically. We've got to get up, get on our feet, and get out there and love people. And don't be afraid to love people. Maybe it will start with just a few little children that break your heart. You know, there's nothing intimidating about kids ministry. Start there if you need to. Just find a few kids that you can play with after school or help them with their homework. Pass out some cookies and just some coloring books. Start really simple. You don't have to start a huge ministry to love your neighbor. You don't have to give thousands of dollars to be able to bless the poor. Sometimes it's just, hey, making an extra sandwich while you're making sandwiches for your own kids. You know, the power of inclusion, just one more sandwich can make a big difference. One more bottle of water, one more dollar bill in your car ready to give away for somebody who may need it on the side of the road. You know, instead of judging people who need us, let's get excited about the opportunities that they present to us to show the love of Christ in practical ways. I am hooked, as you can tell. I've never quit. I'm so excited still to this day to be the hands and feet of Christ. And now as I get into my mid-40s, to raise up other missionaries and young people and see a movement of urban missionaries and people who have a heart for the streets and a heart for those who really need Christ, not just in the pew, but right where they're at in their homes. I mean, right down to not having enough groceries or not knowing how to read, and they just need some help with reading and with school and all the practical things. There's so many needs out there that if you just ask a few good questions and get to know a few people in your neighborhood or maybe somebody that's serving on a similar ministry team or with an organization, maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're thinking, wow, I would love to help in these kind of ways. Maybe I'd love to reach out to people more, but I don't know people like that, or I don't know how to get started. I feel intimidated, or what do I have to offer people who've been through so much? How can I encourage them? My life's pretty good. Well, you know what? You can always link arms with another Christian brother or sister or another organization that maybe they can show you the ropes, and maybe you can just shadow them. That's kind of what I did when I got started. I just kind of joined another ministry team that had started out of our church. I was very young, but I was hungry. I was hungry and I was compassionate. God had put compassion in my heart for people, and I wanted to go see the lost saved. I wanted to see the hungry fed, and I wanted to see the broken healed. And I just encourage you, don't be intimidated, or don't let yourself just feel paralyzed in fear because you don't know how to get started. Find someone, email me if you need to and ask questions, or find me on Facebook or Instagram, message me, leave a note on this podcast, whatever you need to do, but don't just do nothing just because you don't know what the next step is. I think we get overwhelmed because we make it all about this huge ministry opportunity, or we have to have this big organization. And it's so not true. It's just stopping for one person at a time and giving them what they need, which is love. It's not even always money. You know, even in the Bible, the apostles said, you know, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have, we can give you. And they saw a crippled man healed. So beyond money, beyond food, beyond the practical things, sometimes people just need to be prayed for. You know, they just need somebody who will take time with them. Or maybe they're using practical stuff as an excuse. You know, maybe they're sitting there begging all day, or maybe you see the people holding the signs by the traffic light and you just roll your eyes and think, why don't they just get a job? That's fake. That's not even real. This is a scam. Well, you know what? Maybe you need to pull over and let them know, hey, silver and gold have I none, right? I can't give you any money, but what's really going on here? What's your real need? How does God need to heal you? What have you been through? One of my favorite questions that I teach people to ask those who are down and out, I don't like saying homeless people. I'd prefer to say something like pilgrims or sojourners or something like that, just brothers and sisters. But one thing you can always ask as you start to get to know people who are needy and just maybe they don't have a permanent residence or you're not from their neighborhood and you just see them in passing and God puts them on your heart. As you begin to step out and minister to people like that, there's a really simple 3-word question you can always ask, and that is, what's your story? And that will not only let you know what they might really need as far as in prayer or practical needs, but it kind of lets the guard down and gives them a chance to share and not just feel like a project for you to preach to them and for you to tell them what you think they need to hear. But you know what? There's such a power in just human dignity, just restoring dignity to people. Some people have been through so much. We met a sweet, precious, unfortunately trafficked individual the other night. She was a pretty young girl. She had disabilities, had been taken advantage of. She was covered in bruises and would not speak. I don't know if she was mute or just traumatized, but she was being kind of looked after or looked over, should I say, watched over by some people. It seemed to be by one man in particular. But just looking at her, it's like, wow, you know, what is her story? You know, instead of judging people, try to find out what's going on behind the scenes. It's not like anybody ever woke up one morning and just said, you know what? I think I want to be a prostitute. In Luke chapter 10, someone answered Jesus about what the greatest commandments were. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. And then he said, do this and you will live. My friend, if you want to really live, I want to challenge you and remind you, because the Bible already tells us to do these things. I want to challenge and remind you to get out there and find real life, find vibrancy in the Holy Spirit and in the work of the kingdom by loving your neighbor. If you really love God with everything, you're going to have to overflow into the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this will cause you to live, truly live. Jesus said, do this and you will live. So it's not just one or the other. Again, it's both and. It's loving our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving our neighbor. And that doesn't just mean the person who lives in the house next to us. We know from the Good Samaritan story that a neighbor, being a neighbor, is just showing mercy to whoever needs it. You know, if you happen to be the person closest to someone who needs mercy and you show them mercy, Jesus said, you have been a neighbor to them. So showing people mercy and love and caring for them as you pass by, stopping for people and not just looking and praying for them, Prayer is awesome, but we have to become the answer to our prayers. When Jesus talked to the disciples and asked them to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the harvest, if you look just a few verses down, guess who he sends out immediately after that prayer? Those same disciples. You see, we can't just pray for people to go out and minister to the lost and the broken and the poor. We have to become part of the answer to that prayer as well. We can't just love God vertically. We have to get horizontal. We have to go out and be a neighbor. We can't just pass the person on the side of the road, but we have to be the Good Samaritan and stoop down and help them. Jesus said, "Do these things and you will live." If you want to feel really alive and on fire with purpose, get out and get involved like I did when I was a teenager with loving those who need it the most. Get your hands dirty. Go out and get your shoes dirty. Go places. Go places that you wouldn't normally go. You know, on the other side of your comfort zone is the reality of the gospel. I always say it, but the gospel is not the gospel until it crosses the street. Cross the street, get out and love the one in front of you today, get past your fears, and love someone like Christ loved you. He loved you enough to stoop down all the way from heaven and become a baby and become poor and become human and take on flesh to dwell here and to love you, to get on your level, right? Philippians 2, he gave up his heavenly stature to come down and be with us and become one of us so that we could be forever with him and his Father. Before your day comes to an end, I just want to challenge you to read Matthew chapter 25, the section on the sheep and the goats tonight with fresh eyes. And then spend some time on your face. You know, in that place where you can't look down on anyone, you can only look up to heaven with eyes of humility and desperation, because you know what? We all need his mercy. That's why he came. And how can we give mercy if we don't think we need it too? Humble yourself, get in God's word, and find out what it looks like to really love your neighbor. And go do it. If you'd like to get involved with what Village of Hope is doing, please email us at villageofhopemin@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to donate, you can easily and safely give through PayPal to Village of Hope Ministries. Just look us up. And thank you so much for your help. Thank you for your prayers and support. And I will see you on the other side of this episode. Don't forget, you are seen and you are loved.